This GL podcast brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware Stores all over the metro.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
I'm confused about something.
Let us unconfuse
that
you.
In and of itself should not be surprising.
Right.
But I'm confused about something.
Yeah.
Well, there's this great debate raging now about how careful you have to be when choosing a Halloween costume.
Yes.
Megyn Kelly fired because she said she didn't find any trouble with blackface as part of a costume. I have no horse in that race. I would err on that. I would err on the side of caution on that one. I don't think I'd let my kid do it. All right?
Yep.
But my confusion would be the same people who, and I don't know if I'm going anywhere with this, but I think I might be. It's not a link. It's an observation. The same people in America who are vigilant to cry foul at a Halloween costume they might find culturally appropriating, for example.
Okay.
Right? Aren't they the same people, generally speaking, who would defend anyone for merely choosing who they want to be?
Yes. Yeah, one and the same.
The same people who say, don't dress up as a Native American. I'm not suggesting that anyone should, if that's going to be disrespectful. But the same people who are saying, don't dress up as such and such. Don't dress up as Moana. That's cultural appropriation. Right. Don't dress up as a fat person. That would be body shaming. Aren't they the same people who would argue that you should be able to determine not only your gender, but who you might be on any given day?
I identify as a park bench.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same crowd. I don't get it.
Why do they get to
I
play
have no
both
answer
sides?
To that, by the way. I just don't get it.
I don't either.
You're going to tell me that my kid better not dress up as the Black Panther, for example, which is what? A fictional character.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell me my kid can't dress up as the Black Panther, but you're going to tell me that you today you're a woman, but today you're identifying as Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There's an inconsistency here that I don't quite grasp. I'm not campaigning or lobbying for costumes that would be hurtful.
Sure,
to someone.
No, I understand that.
But there's a great disconnect in the idea that I'm going to tell you what you can and can't wear, but you're not going to tell me who I am, who I can even be if I want to be.
And if you were going to be a panther, you could probably be the Pink Panther, just not the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. But this is another part of, a similar issue cropped up in recent years with the animated features Moana, set in ancient Polynesia, and Pixar's Coco, which centers on a Mexican boy named Miguel. A few months before Moana's November 2016 release, Disney pulled a costume based on the character of Maui, voiced by Dwayne Johnson. I'm terribly familiar with this movie, by the way.
Have you seen it once or twice?
I bet I've seen it 100 times.
Why do kids like to do
What's
that?
What's your favorite part?
When that thing goes in the store.
When she dives off the cliff or something. Disney pulled a costume based on the character of Maui, voiced by Dwayne Johnson. The ensemble included a brown bodysuit with Polynesian
Simpsons. He's reading the funnies. Bart Simpson walks in and Homer says, that crazy Marmaduke. I felt so sorry for Homer Simpson at that point. That crazy Marmaduke.
So where is GL on Native American costumes? I think we err on the side of not doing it.
It's 2018. You can't.
Yeah.
And I think it goes so over the top. I mean, the hot princess reservation dresses, that's not right.
But I would defend a little girl wanting to be Moana.
Yes.
They love that show.
That's innocent. I
want to be Moana. I know girls who want to be Moana.
Now, wait a minute here. Now you've got me worried. Because we had a Carver, we had a kids' Halloween pre-party, whatever, yesterday afternoon, so the boys wore their costume that they're going to wear Wednesday. And now I'm worried that the six-year-old, there's a movie character that he's dressed up as. I could see how that would be perceived as Native American, which it's not whatsoever. It's
what
a movie.
Is the character?
It's from the Toothless, the Flying Dragon.
I don't know that.
The boy that rides him, that's who William is dressed up as. And now I'm worried that
are
kids off limits?
Yeah, I think the kids are off, especially the really young kids. I think they can pretty much be whatever. I mean, nobody's going to dress them up as a Nazi unless you're an idiot like that.
Should mom dress up the little kid as a Native American?
My kids took their turn at that, but my kids are also Native American.
Well, and you're off the hook.
But I could
dress up mine as drunk Irishman.
To put an effort into a costume to have a little person walking around as a Native American, I don't think is offensive. I don't think my wife would think so either. Yeah. As long as it's tasteful.
Well, let's go back to my original point. Isn't it a point of irony that the same social justice warriors who are going to be very vindictive and vigilant to call you out if they sense anything that makes them feel victimized, they're the same people who want to be able to say, today I think I'm going to be a gal. They're the same people who want to be referred to as by pronouns that don't even exist. What is this? I don't get it. I can't link that together. I can't put it together.
That's where and I don't know why.
Well,
that's
momentum. It might be as simple as it's the club, and the no matter what the club says is correct. So if the club says no costumes, that's what the club believes. But if the club says I also want gender neutrality here, I want to decide who I want to be on every given day, that then the club would go along with that too. The club will tell you what to
think. Who decides?
The club.
Who? Is there a grand poobah at the club?
No.
Like a czar?
No. Probably all coming out of the field. What were you doing standing in line for Survivor? You got to tell me. Hi, Joe Souchere here, the mayor of Garage Logic, once again addressing the youth of Gumption County on some matters regarding Halloween. Who are the late kids? Who are the kids that arrive past, say, 9 p.m.? We've wondered about this in Gumption County for years and years and years. You just get all your stuff settled, everything's put away, the porch light's off, and... Do you have to scare me in the middle of a public service announcement? This is your mayor, Joe Souchere, speaking on behalf of Halloween.
University of Garage Logic, 98. College of Self-Esteem, Zip, Nada, Nothing. Here's Joe Souchere.
Say a reminder that author Amor Towles, Rules of Civility and a Gentleman in Moscow, is going to be joining us on Wednesday's podcast. I can't wait.
Halloween.
John, did you dig into the book yet?
I didn't. I just haven't had time, and I didn't want to rush it.
I want you to turn to page. Is it hardcover? Do you have it in hardcover?
It's soft cover.
Well, I don't know. In hardcover, paperback. It's page 220. One of the great fun. Well, every scene is great, but it's a. And Rook, you should find it too.
I will.
It's when they go into the kitchen and concoct this most marvelous of meal, and the descriptions of it are just extraordinary.
I will look it up. Yeah.
I have a question, and I've already gotten a couple coins and dropped in the scam.
Well, then get ready for more.
What the hell? What do I have to lose? Why would there be a page difference, hardcover or softcover?
Well, the softcover, generally speaking, would not be as big as a hardcover.
It's a little condensed. Yeah. Not, I mean, they don't take words out, but it's printed.
Oh, okay. Is that a fair question?
Smaller print.
No, I thought it was really stupid.
Chris hinting that he doesn't pick up a lot of books. Or maybe in the last couple of decades.
John, is it paperback or trade size?
It's trade size, yeah. It'll be close to that.
Page 220.
Yes, Chris. Trade size doesn't mean you switch with people. It means the trade industry.
So more on this Halloween. Emailers alerted me to a story that ran on NPR's site, and it's the story of Missy Littman, in Prior Lake has her home decked out with Halloween decorations. And she loves the costumes and candy and traditions, and she plans to keep her 8-year-old son home from school Wednesday. She's upset after learning last month that her son's school, Jeffers Pond Elementary, would be doing away with a fall festival and parade of kids in costumes in its place, an E-STEM Day, Environmental Education, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Lippman took action. It seemed like there was a lot of interest from parents saying, well, why can't we have Halloween? What's the big deal here? And so I thought, you know what? Since there seems to be so much interest in this, I'm going to throw out a petition and see what happens. And she got nearly 2,000 signatures on the petition. Lippman says she asked for a meeting with the school principal and attended a Prior Lake Savage Area School Board meeting to try to get back the type of fall festival she'd sent her kids to in the past. But she said school officials told her inclusivity and learning would be the priority rather than a Halloween celebration that not all students' families agree with. Too bleeping bad. Every time you failed academy champions inclusiveness, they're shutting out a, generally speaking, traditional American custom. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No Christmas. No Thanksgiving. No Halloween.
Columbus Day's out.
Because we have to acknowledge that there are some families who would not participate in it. So what? Then don't. Don't participate in it.
Yeah, it's okay if you don't. You don't have to feel bad.
I'm not sure why our schools need to. If we've got a few students who are staying home for religious purposes, I'm not sure why our school has to conform to that, Lippman said. The goal, according to a statement from Prior Lake Savage Area Schools, is to focus on learning rather than Halloween. Okay, it's the same protocol. Well, I guess individual school principals are allowed to decide whether or how their schools will celebrate holidays. St. Paul Public Schools has had growing pains associated with holidays. In 2016, the principal of one St. Paul elementary school faced public scrutiny after someone leaked a letter informing parents the school would no longer celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween, or Valentine's Day. St. Paul is the most diverse district in the state, according to the district's director of family engagement, Heather Kilgore.
There you go.
I wonder what that costs.
Money well spent there, baby.
She said that's why each principal strives to understand how best to promote an inclusive environment. Our guidance is driven by some core policies about inclusion, about equity, about the importance, actually, of multicultural and intercultural learning and relationships, she said. Yeah, except for one that's been around this country for 200 years.
Right.
You can that one. That's not inclusive. Kilgore said there are no best practices for school holidays and celebrations that she's aware of, and that may be a good thing. I think whenever we make some definitive statement about things like this, about community culture, I think we'll almost always get it wrong, and because of the individuality of school communities is an ever-changing thing, she said. I don't even know what that means.
That's what it means.
Child and teen psychologist Dr. Megan Miller with Alina Health agreed. She said there has been a cultural shift around how to talk about differences. That can include holidays at school and whether to preserve, drop, or adapt traditional celebrations. Really trying to embrace, maybe, differences with one another, she said. It's Halloween. It has nothing to do with anything. It has a pagan origin. It's you get candy.
Basically, that's
big deal.
It really does have no religious All Hallows Eve. I know.
Well, it precedes All Saints Day, right?
Right, but Halloween, it's just
All Hallows Eve. It has nothing to do with the next day being a holy day of obligation, at least in the Catholic Church. It has nothing to do with that.
Well, and it all started when we don't want any violent costumes. And then it was, we don't want any masks. Kids going to school. This is what I'm talking about. And now they just want to go ahead and do away with it all together and, what, put a STEM in, day in?
There are people, I don't mean to dismiss a child psychologist like Dr. Megan Miller, but there seems to be a growing industry, and this is one of the reasons the Academy has failed. There is a growing industry devoted to finding discrimination. That's what they live for. And if you celebrate Halloween at the expense of some kid from Somalia, I guess you've committed some sin at the altar of diversity. BS. The kid from Somalia will either enjoy Halloween or skip it. What do you care? Big deal.
Kid from Somalia should be saying, Mom and Dad,
this is a pretty good gig.
Yeah, hang on.
You go out and you knock on people's door and they give you stuff.
Yeah. One dummy even got a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah. I did. And then my other favorite story is when I took the kid I used to have to a friend's one block over, and they brought out the Snicker bar with a large, almost a railroad spike driven through it. And my kid's friend's dad said, "You might want to have that checked." Why do we go through that period? Do you remember we went through a period where, hell, you had to take your candy to the hospital and have it x-rayed?
Yes.
Yep. Thankfully, that's ended, huh?
You know what? Now that I come to think of it, my parents were really, with me, were willing to roll the dice.
You're fine.
Yeah, you know what? I think they, shouldn't we have this checked out? And they're like, you know what? Let us
know. Were they like that?
Yeah, something similar to that.
Something similar to that.
They were saying, why don't you just let us know if you find something, okay?
You start to feel icky.
Yeah.
Well, I dumped the bag out. There went the bottle, and the mother and the father are damn near having a leg wrestling match trying to see who's going to get it. You know, she
for
won.
For different reasons.
She won and poured it down the sink, and he just had a look of abject disappointment on his face. God. How could you do such a thing?
Would have been good in an old fashioned.
I thought you loved me.
Yeah, it was sealed. It was not tampered with. It was just wonderful. And hell, I was about 7. I got a bottle of Canadian Club. You ever going to tell us about Survivor, or are you going to wait? Hey, come on, man. We have our newsman today, John Haidt, in the podcast newsroom.
Thank you, Joe. A football game among 10-year-olds in St. Paul last week was cut short.
Yeah, I read about this.
The adults on the sidelines fought, and someone fired a gunshot, according to police.
Dear God.
No one was injured in the altercation outside the West Minnehaha Recreation Center in Frogtown Thursday night. Police did arrest a 27-year-old man Friday afternoon and recovered a gun, according to Sergeant Mike Ernster. Numerous callers reported a male with a handgun was shooting into a crowd. According to the police report, other people said the man shot in the air. Officers responded to the rec center on Minnehaha Avenue near Dale Street about 7 in the evening. They found a single spent casing on the football field. St. Paul Frogtown football was playing North Area Titan football in a tournament of 9 and 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Witnesses reported there was an altercation between adults attending the game, and some of them began to physically fight. At some point, a man fired the shot. The man then went to a parking lot, got into a sport utility vehicle, and left. The game at that point immediately canceled, according to Claire Cloyd, St. Paul Parks and Rec spokeswoman. She said, "We're proud of the athletes and coaches and the families involved. This is an unfortunate incident, but we commend everyone present for handling it as we would expect." The St. Paul Parks and Rec youth football season wraps up with playoff games this Saturday. They do.
Football's dangerous enough.
Yeah, without guns.
Right. Johnny, it was North End in who?
It was.
I'm sorry. Didn't you say that?
I'll get there.
I'm sorry. I just want to see if I'm
St. Paul Frogtown football and North Area Titan football.
Yeah, that's the one where when my son played, all those kids started shaking in their shoes when the Frogtown guys come over the hill and they are ready to play.
Well, they're all about 22.
Full beards. Yeah. They all drove. Yeah. They're bringing in grills.
Right.
What's going on with your city, boys?
Oof. I will say, though, aside from this stupid incident, that 9 to 10 age when they really can't hurt each other is a very charming, they're such charming games to watch. Mm-hmm. It's when they get into high school that they really start,
when they can move quicker. Because the 9-year-olds just
right kinda... now in high school football, it's one and done, right? I mean, like Hill Murray lost to Johnson. They're done.
Yeah.
Creighton lost to what? Lakeville North or South? They're done. All right.
And Hill, boy, that I'm surprised that usually they give a good run for their money. I know they had that injury to that.
I think that
senior.
Injury to
Zaremski.
I'll find it.
Yeah, that probably took the wind out of their Pioneer sail because that was 28-0.
The Hill Murray player, he's a senior, is named Zach Zarembinski.
Zarembinski.
Yeah. And he's on medically induced coma. Good luck to him and his family.
William Hohen has been sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole for conspiring to kidnap and lying to police in the death of a woman whose baby was cut from her womb. Remember the story, Hohen pleaded guilty to the charges last month. He was acquitted of conspiracy to commit murder in the August 2017 death of Savannah Graywind of Fargo. Hohen's ex-girlfriend, Brooke Cruz, pleaded guilty in Graywind's death and is serving life in prison. She testified against Hohen at last month's trial. Hohen admitted to helping to cover up the crime, but said he knew nothing about the murder plot. Again, sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. Three U.S. officials say the number of military troops deployed to the southern border in support of the Customs and Border Patrol could be in the thousands. The officials discussed a troop plan that was not yet completed, had not yet been approved by Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. The Wall Street Journal reported the planned deployment was likely to be much higher than officials had disclosed late last week when preliminary figures of 800 to 1,000 were cited. The Journal reported the Pentagon plans to deploy about 5,000 troops, mainly military, police, and engineers to the border. The troops are expected to perform a wide variety of functions like transporting supplies for the Border Patrol, but not engage directly with migrants seeking to cross the border from Mexico. CNN President Jeff Zucker says another suspicious package addressed to CNN intercepted Monday at the Atlanta Post Office. Atlanta police have confirmed they responded to a suspicious package at the post office Monday morning. An initial hearing set for Monday afternoon in Florida federal court for 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc. He faces five federal charges. He was arrested Friday in Florida after investigators said they linked him to the packages through fingerprints and DNA.
But we
evidence.
Don't know if this one is the result of Caesar, do we?
Correct. We do not know that. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway taking some heat on Monday for comments about the mass shooting at Pittsburgh synagogue. She condemned the tread of what she called anti-religiosity in America just days after the mass shooting. She said the anti-religiosity of this country that is somehow in vogue and funny to make fun of everybody of faith by constantly making fun of them. She says that is a bad thing. She later argued that faith can bring Americans together. On Twitter, she's being accused of missing the point of an anti-Semite calling for the death of Jews, shooting Jewish people in their own place of worship.
Well, everybody in the administration could use a good night's sleep. And Mike Lindell has the answer, the mattress topper. He invented it just like he invented the MyPillow. It'll save your mattress and you don't have to spend thousands to get a new one. It's three unique layers designed to provide support, distribute body weight, and regulate your temperature. And it has a zippered, removable cover that's washable and dryable. So don't spend thousands. Rejuvenate your mattress with a MyPillow mattress topper. And Mike is extending a great offer to GL podcast listeners now through December 31st. You can save 30% on any size MyPillow mattress topper and get two MyPillow standard pillows when you enter the promotional code GL at checkout. 30% off and two pillows to boot. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the mattress topper button on the homepage, and enter the promotional code GL at checkout.
A cool historical find, a quick eye by Goodwill workers in southern New Jersey, turned up frame pages.
Here we go, Rook.
From an original 1774 Philadelphia newspaper with a Unite or Die snake design on the masthead.
Neat.
The frayed December 28, 1774 edition of the Pennsylvania Journal and the Weekly Advertiser boasts three items signed by John Hancock, then president of the Provincial Congress, who pleads for the colonies to fight back enemies who are trying to divide them. A jumble of small advertisements offer rewards for a lost horse or a runaway apprentice, while another insists the poster will no longer pay his misbehaving wife's debts. The discovery first reported by New Jersey Penn.
Boy, things haven't changed, have they?
Bob Snyder of the New York auction house Cohasco said the Rebel newspaper shows how everyone was good and mad at the British just months before the Revolutionary War began. The masthead design is a variant of the Join or Die political cartoon credited to Benjamin Franklin. Snyder estimates the newspaper's value at anywhere from $6,000 to $16,000.
That's it?
Yeah. Goodwill Industries hopes to sell it to help fund its educational and job training services.
$6,000.
Fame document was dropped off in Woodbury, New Jersey. And
full of ads like from Wards and like vacuums and stuff like that.
Well, no. It's
brushes little, and brooms, maybe.
Before then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was old.
There are three other.
Probably didn't have vacuums back then.
That's right.
Maybe chimney sweeps, huh? Whoops.
There are three other existing.
Just give that to myself here. Hang
go
on.
Go ahead, drop some in there.
Yep.
There are three other existing copies of the same weekly edition of the Pennsylvania Journal, all of them right now housed in university collections.
Was Was Chimney Sweep the one, Rook, where you said that they will come to you?
I think it was.
Yeah.
They will come out.
As opposed to you hauling their chimney into them.
Yeah.
They come to you. To clean your chimney. They'll come to your house. Instead of, you know.
You don't have to put it in your truck and take it downtown.
That's inconvenient.
It is.
Which shows you the convenience that I stress while doing that live endorsement.
Son, I got to dismantle the chimney.
Why? Well, load I got to get on it the trailer.
Get it clean, yeah.
What was the other one? Windows you can see through.
Yeah, you said that windows was a, you can that was see a line. Through. You can
see right through them.
What?
Windows you can see through.
Blasphemy.
I'm available for endorsements,
here
people.
Go. You wonder why the phone ain't ringing.
Blasphemy is to be decriminalized in the Republic of Ireland after voters overwhelmingly supported a referendum to remove it as an offense in Irish law. It's not like it's been used a lot. The last successful conviction for blasphemy in Ireland, 1703. The last attempted prosecution, 1855. Both cases were taken when Ireland was under British rule. They also elected Michael D. Higgins president. Did you guys see Michael at all?
No.
He's a short little fellow.
Is he?
And he has wild white hair, and his voice is about this high.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
really?
He was giving a speech, and he talked like this.
Jesus.
It was fun.
Pretty good impersonation, John.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Too bad Patrick isn't here for this one. I know he loves these stories. Doctors at a hospital.
Then let's do it like my kids. A couple of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me.
Really?
So I think I got there at about 10 to 11. And it was about a little after one. Stood in line, got some great people.
Sure.
And the guy behind me.
Wow.
No, the guy behind me.
Yeah.
Flew in from Boston for the day to do this because it was an open casting call because they don't always do this everywhere. He flew in from Boston. He had to get back on a 6-7 o'clock flight.
I wish we could play any music we wanted because I'd dig up "I'm a Loser" by the Beatles immediately. Mm-hmm.
Or Beck.
Is there money at issue?
Well, you win $1 million, but if you win,
to slay a dragon or something.
Yeah, if you outlast, outwit, and outplay.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three O's of Survivor.
If you just simply get selected and waste 6 months of your life, you get nothing.
You're getting experience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you an experience.
Are we all sad that the baseball season's over?
Yeah.
It's always a tough day.
It is.
Are we sad that Boston won and we have to listen to them now?
Yes. We're
and
sad
they still
that you,
think they're an underdog.
We're sad that you stood in line for 2 hours to audition for...
That was, you know, O's. A bucket list, you know, get it off the list.
I stood at Rosedale Mall.
I was sad to start with to hear that you watched Survivor.
No. I love it.
Who do the Vikings have next, Director of Social Media?
You got your Detroit Lions in town for a Sunday afternoon tilt, sir.
Anything could happen now, right?
Although we do, I did find out something that apparently, this is according to Andrew Kramer, when Vikings kicker Dan Bailey missed the extra point yesterday, Sid threw a pen in the press box.
Really?
He threw a pen.
Well, he still has his enthusiasm.
He's got his fight still in him.
He's still a feisty guy.
Who told him that he missed?
I don't know. The Saints are a good ball club, but that was a bad loss because now you have two home losses this year. They'll still make the playoffs because the division's very mediocre.
I'll say.
But
your Packers lost, John.
They did. Yeah. They shouldn't have, but they did.
Between the Vikings and the Pack, Johnny. The question is, who wants it less?
Because now, tonight, I know it's a podcast, but tonight, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But New England at Buffalo.
Ouch.
Who's going to watch that?
I got news for you. This is Buffalo's first home night game in some time.
Yeah. Look out is what you're saying.
Those fans are going to be about a 0.4 when kickoff.
Well, what about last night here?
Yeah, last night I knew some people that were in the crowd, and they said that there was some drinking going on at U.S. Bank Stadium yesterday.
Yeah.
Really cool. Closer out.
Goodbye.
Oh, that's closer.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Johnny, you're here tomorrow.
I am, yes.
Attaboy. You're here Wednesday, too, aren't you?
That's correct, attaboy. Yes.
You mean on Halloween Eve? The eve of Halloween? Okay, Garage Logicians, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to rate us on Apple iTunes. And you can tell all your friends about it. If you want to find out more, go to GarageLogic.com to find out some of the features, some of the comics from Greg Holcomb, Author's Corner, and a whole slew of information. GarageLogic.com. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Don't forget to tell your friends and neighbors and maybe a couple family members. Catch you next time.